You're locked into the Despirito Team Real Estate Show with host and top realtor Emilio Despirito on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. We're talking with industry leaders about real estate trends, money-making tips, and advice on buying and selling the American dream. Now, here's Emilio Despirito.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Emilio Despirito, and I'm really excited to have you here with us today. We've got a fantastic lineup of guests today. We have some of my favorite guests on the show, and we're talking everything real estate. We're talking business. We're talking practical advice. This show is just so much more than what you bargained for. Just wait, watch, right? So we're going to get into real estate later on in a bit, but we do have a lot of professionals that listen to our show. Okay. And part of real estate and part of any type of human interactions is communication. So communication is absolutely vital, absolutely vital. And it's a make or break with our existence. Even it is a survival thing. It is a, you want to start and you want to get somewhere, you got to communicate correctly, right? I don't know how I got this far. Honestly, I really don't. But anyways, without further ado, we have on my main man, Peter George. Peter George is a public speaking coach. He's a fantastic resource. Glad to have him here. Check him out at petergeorgepublicspeaking.com. He's been doing this for decades, guys. He is such a fantastic coach. He's coached a Fortune 500 company, administration, CEOs. I mean, the whole nine. He's just the best of the best. And today, Peter and I are going to be talking about the imposter syndrome or perfectionism, things that can really screw you up when you are thinking about making any type of communication or public speaking out there. So Peter, welcome to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Always a pleasure, sir. So imposter syndrome, you really, when I saw that title come across my desk this week, really, really intrigued me. Can you explain that a little bit?
Imposter syndrome is when someone doubts their skills, their accomplishments, what have you. And it's a persistent, and I mean persistent, fear of being exposed as a fraud. So they're constantly dealing with that. What if, even with all my accomplishments, people see that I'm not worthy of this? And it's their own self-doubt, not really an external self, an external doubt that they're seeing and that they're dealing with. And that's unfortunate. And I know from experience, because my first company, when I left the corporate world, the first company I started was a publishing company. I didn't know how to turn on a PC, a computer. This was 1990 when this was all becoming desktop and the like. Yep. I didn't know how to do it. And my wife, who's brilliant, said, "What do you know about publishing?" To which I said, "Nothing, but I'll make it work." And 15 years later, we sold that company. Wow. So it's that doubt that you deal with. And when you write a book, when you go up and speak, when you get in front of your peers, you have this fear of being exposed, that you're not as good as everybody thinks you are. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate because it holds us back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure does. I mean, this could happen and anything could happen. You know, when this happens a lot is when somebody takes a new job. And there's a lot of people that are switching careers or jumping into new jobs right now. And, you know, you see that a lot. And I notice it when we hire new agents. You know, they come in and they're just all like frigid and skittish and kind of just nervous. Would you say that's the direct correlation?
It could be. It could be that they're nervous about being in a new place, but it very well could be. And it's also the person who comes on a little strong, which might be my case when I'm doubting myself, and being an introvert as well, I overcompensate. So I come on a little strong when I really shouldn't. And people see that as, wow, he's braggadocious or he's overconfident or whatever it might be. And it's actually just the opposite. It's that I'm afraid that people are going to see I'm not worthy of this. And right now I'm writing a book. And let me tell you, in the back of my mind, every morning when I sit down to write is, what if my peers don't think this is accurate, don't think it's good enough, don't think it's telling the whole truth? That's always there.
Wow. Good for you. You know what, Peter? I got to tell you, there's a lot of power in being vulnerable, right?
And one of those.
But there's a lot of power in that. And it's, I feel like, listen, we're bombarded with so much garbage every single day. there, it's nice to know that someone's human on the other end. And if anything, that's easier to connect with for me. And I think for everybody, when you're talking with somebody and they're being real like that, because we all question things we do every single day. And that's just part of the human element. No one wakes up perfect.
Right. And a lot of people, if they deal with that, will move along better through this world and this life, I believe. That when you start breaking the silence, tell people that, you know, you have this fear of being found out. And the people who care, whether it's a significant other, coworker, whomever, will say to you, you have the talent. You can do this. You are going to make mistakes. No, you're not the greatest in the world. No one is. So that helps when you start talking about it.
100%. You know what I say? We're up to 21 advisors now, Engel & Volkers. And I tell them, I say, guys, I'm a C student at best. You know, like, they put me in slow classes at some points because who cares? You know what I mean? Right. They did, right? Because I just never cared about school. It wasn't my gig. I didn't care. I slept through my classes. I was a failure, okay? Because I knew I wasn't going to be using, you know, algebra in owning my business. I'd hire people that knew how to use algebra, like, so stuff like that. But so I just say, look, if the C student can go out and do what I do, you guys can go out and crush it. So I agree with you, man. Just be a little vulnerable. And sometimes I'm like, why did I say that? And like, look, we just told our whole audience that, you know, right. But who cares? You know, like, somebody might be like, wow, I like that. And other people may be like, this guy's an idiot. I wouldn't use him. Well, fine. You're lost. You know? So it is what it is. But at the end of the day, I wanted to ask you, what is your book about? That's why I wanted to ask you. Sidetrack.
It's public speaking.
Public speaking, of course, naturally, right?
I'm a one-trick pony. What can you say?
Yeah. So, man. So, and perfectionism, that obviously goes hand in hand. Did we touch on that?
Well, perfectionism, you know, it's a great way to stall what you're doing, and I deal with that as well. I got that from my dad, and I got a lot of talents from my dad, who was my hero, and he died when I was 30, but this is one I wish I had never gotten from him. And perfectionism will just stall what you're doing. Let's go back to me writing my book. I try to make it perfect. And I try to, the worst way to write a book is to edit it while you're writing it.
Yep.
Just dump everything down. Go, yes. go. And that's why they have the editing process later. I don't do that. I edit it while I write it. And the worst thing you could do is write it in the form that the book is going to be, as opposed to like Word or whatever, and just go page after page after page. I write it in the form, put in the graphs, everything else while I'm doing it. Worst way ever to write a book. Yeah, but absolutely. It's the perfectionist in me. And a normal book takes up around 2 years to process. Mine will be closer to three.
Wow.
By the time it gets through the editors and everything else, because of the way I do it, which again is, I wouldn't advise that to anybody. But my dad, I remember him, for example, painting the house in the garage. And for some reason, the garage part sticks in my mind. And he would paint a little and take his coffee cup and stand back and look at it for 20 minutes. And then paint a little more. Now, this was a firefighter who couldn't worry about perfectionism.
Yeah.
When a fire was raging.
Yeah.
But in his personal life, he was a perfectionist and... yeah, it would take about 8 days to get the front of a garage done.
Oh my God. Well, that's so funny. You know what? That's, I think we can all relate to that too. And
it's human nature.
It is.
But it's learning to deal with it where the success comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about it. Is this the largest your company has ever been? 21 people?
Yeah. My team, about 8 months ago, we were six. And then I opened this franchise, Engel & Volkers, brought it to Rhode Island, and now we're at 21.
All right. So you could wake up every single day thinking, oh my God, am I worthy of working with 21 people?
I do.
And then when you get 22, you could think the same thing. I learned to do 21. Now can I do 22? Maybe I can't. I shouldn't be doing this.
It's not even just that, right? It's like, so, and this can apply with everything. Like, this is just a scale of our economy and our country and our world, right? So the typical real estate transaction has 52 people involved. Now, think about that for a sec. 52 people times, say, 21 advisors times the typical advisor who's doing 12 transactions. That's 13,000 people that, and some way, shape, or form, my business partner, Joe Fazio, and I are somewhat responsible for.
All right.
It's insane. It's
and then insane. Do the math with the money.
Oh,
the value of the homes.
I mean, I'm at $250 million in real estate sales myself. I'm under a decade in. It's insane.
And I don't mean to put words in your mouth or make you more vulnerable, but I got to believe there are times you wake up, go, really?
Yes. Me? C student. Yeah.
Yeah.
Idiot. Right. It's all good. it's all good. It's just crazy. No, but the whole thing is that, and I don't do it to pick on myself or anything, even though it is fun to pick on ourselves, because if we take ourselves way too serious, it's just life's too short for that. But ultimately I do it just because, just like as you do it and you share your being vulnerable is because we hope it inspires people to take action or to do something.
Right.
Because any successful person I met, like yourself or Matt Bates or, any successful person that I've come across, and there's several a day, they all have their shortfalls, their shortcomings. They've all had their challenges, their failures. And you know what they all have in common?
What's that?
They all get up and they dust their knees off after a fall, and they fall on their face more than anyone else. They are the strongest people I know, and they fall down and get hurt more than anybody else, but come back and give back more than they did when they got hurt.
Well, probably the greatest compliment I've received, other than from a family member or my wife, is my mentor. And this is a very successful, now retired man. And I meet with him once a month. And we were talking once about not too long ago, maybe 6 months ago, about something I was doing didn't work out as I had hoped or mm-hmm. I had planned. And he says, so what are you going to do about that? Which is his great question. And what are you going to do about that? And I said, I'm going to attack it from a different angle. Well, a month after that, five months ago, it still didn't work out. He goes, now what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to attack it from this angle.
Love it.
And because it's something I really wanted to accomplish. And he looked at me, he goes, you are the most persistent son of a gun I've ever met in my life. And you don't get down. You say, okay, it didn't work that way. Let me find a way to make it work. Now, that might come a time that you go, okay, this is not going to work.
Mm.
And you have to abandon it. But I never want to stop till I know I've exhausted it. If it really matters, every way I could possibly do it. Mm-hmm. But here's one thing I have learned in life. And as you get older, you seem to care less about perfectionism and imposter syndrome, at least with
Absolutely.
Me. It's like, okay, you're dealing with your mortality, right? So how long can you delay something? But, and that's exactly what's happening while I'm writing my book. When I sit back and think about reality is, you know, I could get hit by a bus today. And you know, without kidding around, I could have a heart attack, a stroke, anything this afternoon. Yeah. So how much time do you have to really hold yourself back and keep yourself from accomplishing things?
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to get this done, I have to get it done no matter what anybody thinks.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and so many people are still caring about the people in high school. Well, if I do this, what will Bob or Susan in high school think about me? They don't even know you're still alive.
Yeah, they do. Social media.
Right. They don't get up thinking about you every day. You might think they do, but they don't.
No.
So yeah, you really just have to push that stuff aside. And I'm not saying that as someone who doesn't deal with it, because I do.
Yeah.
But you have to find that way to push it aside. Tell people that you feel this way. Separate what you're feeling from actual fact, which is mm-hmm. what I work on.
100%. Hey, listen, you can check out Peter George at petergeorgepublicspeaking.com. Again, fantastic guy, fantastic resource. When his book is released, you better believe we'll have a signing party at Engel & Volker's location, right on Main Street in East Greenwich. We're going to have a signing party for you, Peter. We will, I promise. It's going to be great. Thank you. Wine, cheese, and Peter George. What's better than that? Peter, thanks. Thanks for being here with us. We appreciate you very, very much. Again, please feel free to reach out to Peter George at petergeorgepublicspeaking.com. You won't be sorry. Peter, we'll see you back here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show next time.
Thanks so much, Amelia.
Oh, man, always a pleasure. Always nice. Thank you so much. Hey, guys, stay tuned. We have our friend Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage, and Matt is going to be jumping on the show. And he's mysterious today because he did not send me his topic for the radio show today. I always love this. Throw me a curveball, Matt. I know what he's up to. We'll be right back here on News Radio 920 1047 FM, streaming on iHeart WHJJ, the Despirito Team Real Estate Show.
This segment is brought to you by Matt Bates for Movement Mortgage, NMLS number 844154. Movement Mortgage supports equal housing opportunity, NMLS number 39179, NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Now back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is your show all about real estate, business, and events. We always talk about events later on the show, but right now we've got a really great guest, one of my favorite guests, How about that? Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage. Now, Matt is one of the top loan officers in the Northeast. He's fantastic. I can't brag about him enough. He gets stuff done and he's super reasonable and he's super quick to get things done. We love working with Matt, so I can't recommend him more than that. TheRIMortgageGuy.com. Check him out, get pre-approved, do your refis there, TheRIMortgageGuy.com. Tell him you heard it here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. So, Matt, closing purchase loans. We're going to jump into purchase loans today. We get a lot of questions that come in from people like, hey, is it normal to take 90 days to close? Like, no. Or, you know, what's the typical time to close a loan? I need to prepare. I need to buy. I need to sell. I need to do this, blah, blah, blah. Let's jump into that.
Yeah, so definitely a very common question asked amongst the different buyers that I'm working with. And there's not any right or wrong answer as long as you're working with a lender that can make it happen, whether it's really fast or really slow. I mean, the real answer is, when do you need to close? What's your flexibility as a buyer? What do you what's in process in order to be able to close? For instance, like if you're selling your current primary and you need to close that before you can close on the new house, that's really what's stopping you from being able to close in, you know, record time, because we're relying on other buyers to get their financing situated and approved and be able to close, so that way you can move on with your next purchase. Really, the trick there is to be as prepared as possible going into making an offer. So, for instance, Movement Mortgage does upfront underwriting. So if a customer applies with us and they're willing to give us all the financial documents that we're going to require in order to approve a mortgage, we'll go ahead and do that upfront underwriting process before issuing a pre-approval letter. So basically, it puts the customer as close to being in a clear to close position as possible. It's almost making it like a cash offer. It's the second best is what I'm trying to say. Obviously, cash is cash, and that's the most prepared buyer. But when it comes to financing, once you decide on which lender you're trying to work with, or you decide to work with, it's really important for you to get as prepared as possible. Now, sometimes it might be advantageous to be able to have a flexible closing date on a longer end of a scale, because maybe the seller that is selling you the house has to also go find suitable housing, and therefore they need a buyer that's going to be flexible with them. So it's not so much being able to close as fast as possible, but being in a position where you can be flexible, whether you close really fast or if you're in a position where you could take a little longer. It helps you stay competitive with making offers on houses and stand out amongst the other buyers out there.
It's less risky for sellers to accept an offer through Movement Mortgage because of the upfront underwriting. So you've taken all of the question out of, you know, so there's the mortgage pre-approval, which a lot of people get confused about, Matt, right? They're always like, oh, this, you said this person's approved. No, they're pre-approved. Now we got to go through the underwriting process. So they're pre-approved. They got to go through underwriting. So instead of going through that 30-day process, you guys do it all up front. You front load it. And Matt, I want to know, why don't other banks do this? It seems so easy, so simple. Why are other banks not doing this?
It's a great question. I'm actually thankful that they don't do it because it helps us stand out a little bit better amongst our competition as lenders. But really, a lot of lenders can't afford the operational costs of working that to that extent on a loan that's not under contract or it doesn't have a closing date in sight. So their operations staff and everybody that works for the mortgage company, they're all working on live active deals. And so are we. Yeah. But we feel from the get-go, from our, since we were born as a company, that if we're going to give out a pre-approval letter and for it to mean something, and if a customer is willing to engage with us to the level that allows us to do all of these things, that means that they're really serious and they need to be taken really serious in order to, provide our best service. Why not get some of these things that need to be done anyways out of the way? It also, it properly vets people out. So that way last minute, conditions that we weren't aware of don't come up later in the process in the 11th hour. Everybody's mortgages are based off of three major pillars: income, credit, and assets. And income, credit, and assets are not going to change from house to house. The payments might change from house to house because of different taxes, different insurance, different price points. But a buyer's income, credit, and assets, they are what they are. So if they're willing to dive into it as much as we need to in order to close a loan, why not get it done, you know, as much as possible before we actually find the house? It makes their offer a lot stronger. It puts them in a position to close a lot faster. I mean, we have an endless list of people that have been able to close in a couple of weeks. We don't want to close every buyer in 2 weeks because it does take a village to be able to get these things done. So, but we want to give the people the opportunity to be able to choose to do so if it helps them secure their house that they want. And so it's just been our way that my company's been built from day one is how we do it. Now, if you look at companies that are, 30, 40, 50 years old, they've been doing it the way they've been doing it for that long. It's tough for them to rewind that operational process and start all over again because it'll throw everything off. So, there's a lot of capable lenders out there that don't do it the way that we do it, that do close loans. Obviously, they're closing loans every day, and that's really great. But for me, as far as what's really important to me as a mortgage loan officer is the educational component of it. And through the underwriting process, a buyer can learn a lot about their financing and what's required in order to close. So if I can do that before it gets really serious with the contract, I try to take every opportunity to get that prepared with any and all buyer.
Absolutely, Matt. Well said, man. So, and just to kind of summarize some of this from a real estate agent perspective, we have a lot of agents that listen, a lot of buyers that listen to the show, or a lot of people that know buyers. You know, basically this, like there's some times where you walk into a vacant home and you're going up against, two or three or four or 10 buyers. And when that home's vacant, they can move. I mean, they can be out, they can close. Maybe it's an estate sale. Maybe you're going up against cash investors, but you go in with a full underwriting approval. You can close on that house in 2 weeks. And that is, depending on clear title, that is unbelievable. I mean, really, that's almost as fast as cash. And for people to be able to go ahead.
What I was going to say is that the things that are going to stop us from closing in 2 weeks compared to a cash buyer, all the things that a cash buyer would consider important too, as far as like, making sure the house is worth it. the title is clear. It passes proper inspections that are suitable for the buyer. I mean, those are all things that can be done within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, no problem. And they don't take up a lot of time. What takes up time is if the mortgage lender has to do all of their internal processing of a mortgage through the underwriting department after the contract. But if we've already gotten a majority of it done, it's just drop it in these pieces that it, whether you're cash or you're financing, you need to get it done anyways. So, that's what allows us to move really quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Hey, Matt, will you stay with us for another couple minutes? I want to, in the next segment, I'd like to talk about the difference between you and an online company, something like Rocket Mortgage, say, or something where people can go online and put their info in. And I want to talk about the difference in what they offer, what you offer, and really break that down. Sound good?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Perfect. Hey, stay tuned. We're going to be right back here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show, powered by Movement Mortgage. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This segment is brought to you by Matt Bates from Movement Mortgage, NMLS number 844154. Movement Mortgage supports equal housing opportunity, NMLS number 39179, NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Now back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I am Emilio Despirito, and this is your real estate show. This is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show, powered by Movement Mortgage. And we've got on Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage here with us today. And, you know, I had Matt here because I want to talk with him about the difference between your local, more local lender, okay, somebody that has their boots on the ground. They may work with a big company, but boots on the ground here, versus your internet lender, so internet mortgage provider. This is a company, you go online, there's no personal relationship, you type in your information, it goes out to a call center in Guam or wherever it goes, versus somebody who is more local. So let's talk with Matt in regards to that. Matt, consumers want ease. They want things to be done very quickly. So they sometimes feel that going to like a discount type of place or going to an online type of thing will be easier. I've had different experiences than that, and I'm happy to share mine, but I want to hear from you direct, the lender. What is the difference between what you do versus what one of these online mortgage providers does?
So, that's a very interesting question because I'm constantly in the space of competing with, you know, those internet providing mortgage companies. They advertise rates online and they're very internet friendly. A lot of times consumers just have a tough time with the technology, number one. We have a high tech part of our mortgage application process, mm-hmm. but it's catered to those that are really, you know, into the tech part of it, but it's not necessarily a requirement in order to close. If I need to meet with people face to face or, walk them through how to apply online, all of that is very doable with us. So the hands-on approach is what a lot of people value when it comes to the differential maker. But mm-hmm. Another thing is that the accountability between me and my referral partner, someone that introduces me to their buyers, is huge. It carries a lot of weight for the consumer as a benefit. People need to be need customer service is a huge, huge part of reasons why people do business with each other. And because of the relationship that I have with the local real estate market, my reputation, my accountability, my pre-approval letters, everything means more than just doing a good job for the customer. It's to make sure that when we say we can close a loan, and the pre-approval letter means we can do it. A lot of times because I'm in and out of the local marketplace, driving around, networking, meeting other real estate agents. A lot of times, you know, I might have a heads up on a house that, you know, family, friends that are looking to sell that might be a good fit for my client, be able to plug in those pieces together. If there is a situation with the house, maybe there's a bad boiler system or there's a septic tank, or what are the rules with cesspools and turning them over to sewer connections, or replacing it with a upgraded septic tank. You know, how does this all work? With a local lender, they have the connections to be able to introduce you if you need to. They also have the rules of what's going on in the local market, whereas some of these internet banks might not be familiar with Rhode Island's rules. They might not be familiar with the way that taxes are done in homestead and, you know, homestead exemptions with property taxes and stuff. So the local feel and the local connection with the lender helps us all work as a community to be able to get your loan done, your purchase transaction done, and make sure that you begin your home ownership in your particular new house with the best possible head start, you know. And I really just don't see where a lot of these internet banks have the capability of being able to offer that. Another thing is that I'm huge on education. And whenever I tell somebody that's applying, that's a little worried about a certain part of their application, it's never a no, you don't qualify. It's a not yet. It's we have to do a couple of things. And for my experience, for my seat, what I see is that if you apply online, if you don't fit perfectly into whatever loan program a particular lender has, you just get put into a system and just kind of like they're it's called churn and burn. They're like they're going through it. If you qualify, great, here's your pre-approval letter. If you don't, you know, apply later when you get it fixed, when you get it figured out. For me, it's never like apply, you don't qualify, have a nice day, we'll never talk to you again. And for me, it's like, no, you don't qualify because of this reason at the moment, but if we do this and we work together for this amount of time, we could get you qualified for this. And it's a really, really awesome experience to watch somebody come in that's having a little bit of struggles, help them get a point in the right direction, and now they're pre-approved. It's almost from there. I have a customer for life, you know, and that's one of my more favorite parts about, you know, this business and helping people is making sure that they're not just getting shoved into a mortgage, into a house that they can't afford, that might not be in the best condition. It's making sure when they close, it's just the beginning of a really awesome journey through, you know, the next step in life and owning that home. So a lot of internet banks, they have a really tough time providing that service, and their accountability to the real estate agent and the team that's working for the client is not as strong as the local lender that agents love to use as a recommendation. Yeah. Now that there are some good experiences, and people that usually have the best experience with internet banks are people that are very, very well versed in mortgage financing and how it all works, and they fit into the system really well, and they don't really need the hand holding. I don't know if I like that term or not, but they don't really need advising as much. They just need to get the blocks to fall in the right place. And if that's the case, that I'm really happy for them too, because they were able to, you know, close really, really fast, and they have a little bit of a leg up on the normal home buyer. But I'm more interested in helping the people that need the most help, which is people that have never done it before, first time home buyers. Maybe they're not, maybe they've owned homes before, but they just need that team approach. And I definitely, you know, hang my hat on the fact that, you know, we work as a really solid team when it comes to getting these deals done.
100%, Matt. Yeah. I like what you said. You said, you know, the local rules, the local laws, you know, the local players, you have the local referral network, and you also have the local acknowledgement. So when you're going out to place offers on properties in any market, right? If you go in and you're placing an offer with a listing agent that knows the bank, you know, part of what we do is we qualify the buyers as listing agents. We have to call the bank. We establish a rapport with the bank, the lender. We say, hey, this person is good. Yeah. What did you do to pre-qualify them, pre-approve them? Oh, we ran the credit. We did this. We did that, whatever else. Well, I can tell you, we get a document that comes over from an online bank, right, where we have no rapport with them, have done very limited transactions, versus a local lender or a lender like Movement Mortgage, we know we have established relationships with these people. We've shaken their hands at networking events. We've closed tons of their loans. We know they're going to get the job done because they're more accountable. It's not just some yo-ho out in a call center that doesn't care about, and not that they don't care, but legit, they'll never know you. They're on the phone with you, right? That's it. That's as far as a relationship goes. Matt's going to bump into you at the supermarket. There's something to be said about that. Matt's going to do the right job, because when you bump into someone at the supermarket, you're going to want to make sure it's a good experience that they had.
Yes. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy how many times that happens in our small state of Rhode Island, where you cross paths with people and see each other later on in life. And it's always in the back of my head that I need to make sure that I'm doing my best job for my clients and my referral partners' clients. So that way, when I do come across them in the bowling alley, it's not an awkward thing, but it's more of a happy reunion. Yeah, for sure.
I'd love to go bowling. I would totally love to go bowling. It's been a long time. One of my favorite pastimes is like just going out with the guys, going bowling, getting a couple pitchers of beer, and just, you know, just letting loose.
Having some pizza and rolling some balls.
Being a man, yeah, just throwing a heavy bowling ball down and hitting pins, you know, it's just a fun thing. But good stuff. So Matt Bates with Movement Mortgage, the RIMortgageGuy.com. Check them out. So good stuff. Hey, if you have any questions at all, you can either call us on our off-air number 401-217-2333, or you can go to RIMortgageGuy.com. You can go ahead and connect with Matt there, get pre-approved for a mortgage, or you can go ahead and do a refi, connect with him. He'll give you a call personally and walk you through it step by step. And if you say, hey, we want to work with Emilio and his team over at Engel & Volkers, Matt will put you in touch with us too, and we'll help you out. And by the way, we can recommend you to our advisors all over the planet, 950 locations anywhere in the world. We can help you out. So good stuff. Thank you so much, Matt, for being here with us. This is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. We're going to be right back here with the top five events happening in Rhode Island with RIblogger.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now back to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show on News Radio 920 and 104.7 FM. Also available as a podcast on iHeartRadio. So you can see.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm Emilio Despirito, and you know what that music means. It means we have on Jennifer Jaber with RIblogger.com, and Jen's going to let us know about the top five events happening here in the lovely Ocean State. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. It's really exciting. It's already talking about Columbus Day weekend. It keeps going so fast, but there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. The Columbus Day weekend, Friday to Monday, is the Columbus Day on the Hill Festival. It's from the 8th to the 11th, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. The festival takes place from Dean Street to Sutton Street along Atwell's Ave. This year it's going to feature a cooking stage with Providence chefs doing demonstrations, so that's always great. A lot, you know, get new tips for your own cooking. The festival begins on Friday the 8th at 5 p.m. and it goes till midnight. Then the 9th and the 10th, it's 11 a.m. to midnight, and then Monday, it's 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And the parade kicks off Sunday at 11 a.m. And there will be continuous entertainment all weekend long, and obviously delicious food. It's Federal Hill, so definitely want to put that in your bucket of Columbus Day weekend events. The Woonsocket Autumn Fest takes place at Veterans State Park in Woonsocket the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th. And that's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's a great family fun event. It features a weekend full of music, crafts, food, amusement rides, and then also a parade. I always go to this one. The Scituate Arts Festival 2021 will also take place on Columbus Day weekend. It's 10 to 5 Saturday and Sunday, and 10 to 4 on Monday. It's a juried art show featuring 3 days of fine arts, antiques, crafts, regional food, music, and more. There's an entertainment stage and a food vendor area located at the Village Green and both sides of Route 16. And again, there's also like a lot of outside vendors set up as well. So there's tons of finds there. So I always come home with something new for like the wall or for the house. So that's a good one to go to. And some jewelry. I find good jewelry there.
Always a good thing to have jewelry.
Oysters. Saturday, October 9th is the Ocean State Oyster Festival at Riverwalk Park on South Water Street in Providence. It's from 1 to 7 p.m. The day features 12 oyster farmers from Rhode Island, live music, craft beer and wine, and food trucks by the boardwalk along the Providence River. It's $10 per person. There's also oyster and drink tickets available for purchase separately, and kids under 12 are free. So if you love oysters, definitely worth it. And last but not least, this is repeating through October. So Pumpkins in the Park at Slater Park, Friday and Saturday until October 30th. It's from 6 to 9. It's the annual Pumpkin in the Park attraction. It's open Fridays and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. The attraction is intended for young children and showcases 400 creatively carved and illuminated pumpkins depicting animals, characters, famous people, art, and other design. So it includes other fun, spooky attractions as well. And it's $5 per person and under 12 are free. So if you, so you have Saturday and Sunday all through October to get there. And that one's definitely geared towards the kids. But I do think it's worth getting to the Roger Williams Park one as well. So maybe get to both of those.
Awesome. Absolutely. And they can check it all out at riblogger.com, right?
Absolutely.
riblogger.com. Check it out. Don't forget to post your events for free and check out all of the best places to dine and entertain yourself and your family and maybe a date or your kids or who knows. Check it all out at riblogger.com. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You're very welcome. You too. I would like to thank Andrew, our producer, for doing such a fantastic job. We love you, Andrew. Thank you. Nice work. Bill, our station manager, Matthew Bates with Movement Mortgage, rimortgageguy.com. Check it out. And Jennifer Jaber with riblogger.com. Peter George with petergeorgepublicspeaking.com. And most importantly, you for listening to this show. Thanks. Check it all out. And if you need anything from me, have any real estate questions here or globally, 401-217-2333. I'll go ahead and connect you with whoever you need to be connected with. If it's not something I can personally help you with, 401-217-2333. Thank you so much. Take care. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.